A second temple would be built in Jerusalem. It was completed in 516 BCE, and it would stand until the first century of the Common Era, until the year 70 CE, when it was destroyed by the Romans. And the events that took place during this stage of Judaism's development were extremely significant. Jews were ruled by a succession of conquering empires, Persian, Hellenistic, Roman. And for most of this period, there's no prophecy anymore. And as a result, there's no prophecy. For most of the period, there's no Jewish monarchy. And new forms of leadership, of spiritual leadership, begin to emerge. And one in particular, the sage, the wise man, will appear, one who knows the Bible, one who can teach. First example of this might be in the book of Ezra, where Ezra is one of the leaders of the returnees from Zion, and he is basically a forerunner of what we will call a rabbi. A second major development in understanding where Judaism is headed is the appearance of a Jewish diaspora, a dispersion. In the Hebrew Bible, dispersion of the Israelites was considered a threat. If you misbehave, you will be dispersed around the world. What was a threat in the Bible by the post-biblical period had become reality. And we will encounter now Jews throughout the Greco-Roman world and east of the Greco-Roman world in the lands beyond the Euphrates River, east of the Euphrates, ruled by Parthia. This diaspora would play a very important role in early Christianity as well. The Second Temple was destroyed in the year 70 by the Romans. And for the first time, Judaism encountered a major challenge to its very existence. Without a recognized and unifying cultic center, without access to sacrificial worship as the prime mode of religious expression, the way the Bible, in fact, demands, right, new systems and contexts for Jewish religious life were necessary. The success of suggesting and of putting in place these alternate modes of religious life, and the literature that will develop in the aftermath of the destruction of the temple, in many ways, helped save Judaism as a living faith and as a living nation. This new literature will almost, that we will discuss in one of our future lectures, almost becomes a second canon. The literature that will be produced explaining the Bible, enhancing the Bible, and most importantly, adapting the Bible to this new reality would be the basis for rabbinic Judaism, and in many ways the basis for a Judaism that we all recognize today. In the Middle Ages, new challenges would appear. The vast majority of Jews no longer resided in a Jewish homeland, in a center. They were dispersed throughout lands that were controlled either by Muslim or by Christian rulers. No less important were the intellectual challenges to Judaism from theologians of both religions. And this reality stimulated an enormous literary output, ranging from philosophical works, a growing corpus of mystical literature, polemical work, and the expansion and application of the existing legal system of Judaism that had already begun in the rabbinic period, but now was constantly required to adjust and to meet and to answer new questions and new realities. But I should stress that with all their differences, geographical and already there are actually ethnic components now involved, with all of the differences, the vast majority of Jews throughout the world during the Middle Ages, still adhered to the major guidelines and the practical strictures of what was then still historical Judaism. The modern world, beginning with the Enlightenment of the 18th century and continuing with the major political upheavals of the 19th century, introduced totally new challenges to Judaism. For the first time, Christian society in Western Europe opened its gates to the admission of Jews. Conditional to the Jewish willingness to forego some of the norms of its behavior, of its religious behavior, of its exclusive or particularistic behavior that tended to keep Jews apart from others.